You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 13 June. We've got German inflation later expected unchanged at 2.1% year on year. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Skull Glow, PSG, Old Oak. We've got the Karooooo CEO selling $75 million of shares. I don't know, that seems to be perfectly fine. PGM Stocks, is he a believer of this run by the white metal? Then we're going to be chatting with Head of Youth and Mass Market at Standard Bank. Their youth barometer, where are they spending? Are they saving? What sort of cars are they buying? And then thoughts from me on not being scared of all-time highs in the market. This is particularly true for traders. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Gap Director share sale questioned. Dumped 6.5 million shares just days before a trading update sent the share falling. CNBC, Israel attacks Iranian nuclear facilities. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.4%, NASDAQ a quarter of a percent higher. The East is red, Sydney down 0.6%, Tokyo 1.3% down, Hong Kong down 0.7%, and Tencent off 0.25%. Commodities mostly green, gold futures 3,449. Brent 75.48. Platinum 1,278. And palladium is slightly weaker at 1,059. The rand is 17.94. Bitcoin 104,300. And top 40 opening call, red open, 630 points or 0.7% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining us with Skulk Low. You find him, of course, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, appreciate the early morning time. Lots happening this morning. I want to kick off with PGMs. The white metals have sort of started to move. There's been a lot of believers for a long time. I mean, you and I have chatted gold many times. That's now, over 3,400. Are you a believer in this run by the PGMs at this point?
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the MoneyWeb listeners now. Short answer, yes, definitely. I mean, yeah, everything when you, the day one when you walk into university, they teach you that in economics class, supply and demand.
Yeah.
And I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, you and I had this conversation where, I mean, if the World Platinum Council is anything to go by, I mean, they had a biggish deficit, and for the listeners out there, deficit, that's just the demand outstripping the supply in 2023. And then in 2024, that deficit shot up to 995,000 ounces. And as we sit here with the latest World Platinum Council report, they are forecasting another 966,000 ounces deficit for this year. So in that report, I actually found it very, very interesting where they actually look at different size. Now, Simon, I'm going to give the listeners a bit of a history class. You and I, we've got a bit of, you know, gray or like I like to call it these days, platinum in our hair.
So sure.
we know the history. So back in the early 2000s, it became a bit of an in thing to not have a gold wedding ring or, you know, anything gold. It was platinum. Platinum was the thing. I mean, even to date, I mean, a lot of youngsters would look at some of these banks saying, I've got let's call it a Skull Glow Bank black card, or I've got a gold card, and then I'm top of the pops, I've got a platinum card. But why? I mean, platinum is trading at a third of the price of gold. Well, then when you pull back the history, 20 years ago, basically platinum was trading double the price of gold, because it was a very, very in thing to have platinum jewelry. Now, in that report, they stated again that they saw the jewelry market picked up. Yes, Mr. Trump said, or President Trump said, we're not seeing the EV market growing as it's doing. So platinum demand is really there, but also from the jewelry side, it is starting to pick up. I mean, 5% in a quarter, that was big. So I do think, you know, when you look at the platinum graph, and I want to encourage all the listeners to go and just pull up a platinum graph. For 10 years, it's done nothing. If you look at platinum relative against gold, and I know it's not an exact, you know, correlation between the two, I do think, you know, this, let's call it deficit or high demand for platinum, the lowish supply, you know, we know we're the largest producer in the world, platinum, rhodium, and with Russia. Russia is still in the war. With that, I think that there's still upside in platinum for sure.
Yeah, and you zoom out to a 10-year chart and it's just been sideways. It's a fascinating chart. Quick question on that. Do you have a preferred counter for PGMs, or is it much like gold? They're all going to do varying degrees of well when the metal runs.
Let's handle the T's and C's first. I mean, I'm holding Impala Platinum and Valterra currently. Valterra just got out of Anglo American, and I think it's an interesting one. You know, for the listeners that's currently contemplating just selling their Valterras. I mean, when you look at Valterra, that overhang of stock that came through Anglo America, I mean, that saw sort of a lackish let's call it interest in Valterra. Mm-hmm. When you look at it year to date, I'm not going to handle Sibanye, because Sabania had a whole new recovery story.
Yeah.
111%. That's it. 111% for 2025. But when you look at Impala and Northam, both of them are around about 80% up to yesterday. Valterra only 55%. So I think there's an opportunity in something like Valterra. It does seem like their margins are looking better, you know, compared to the other three. And also their debt levels are looking attractive. So I must say anything between Valterra and Impala might be a good call, but I might be leaning towards the Valterras currently.
Let's change on to Karooooo. Zach Calisto, CEO, selling some $75 million of shares. Price was down 16%. I suspect maybe, I mean, this is a stock with very low liquidity. He's a significant shareholder, well over, he's got 58-odd% at this point in time. My sense is directors are typically net sellers. And I got to say, I think he's doing it in a clever way, because he couldn't dump this into the market. There's just not enough liquidity. Mm-hmm.
No. When I looked at this, last night, I mean, minus 16.2. For a second there, I thought it was maybe the temperature in the Karoo. But I had to go look at it again. And then on New York Stock Exchange, where they're primary listing, I mean, minus 19-odd%. So yes, I mean, if you've got a share price that closes at close to $60 per share the previous night, and the announcement comes through that Mr. Calisto just is selling at $50 per share, then you're going to have a reaction similar to what we've seen. It's sort of a sweet and sour. That we're focusing on the sour. I mean, when you look at the results, which also came out, I mean, it looked good. I mean, they're beating consensus. When you look at their Cartrack subscribers, again, growing 17% year on year. So in general, I thought the results look good enough. But I mean, if you're going to be a seller of 5% of the company, because that's essentially this, let's call it this the $75 million transaction, 1.5 million shares. That's about 5% of the company. I think Mr. Market is asking the question, you know, you now sold down to just over 57%. Are we going to see more, or is this it? If this is going to be it, I think we should see a recovery again in this company. It looked good. Not a holder.
Not a holder either, but it does also put some liquidity into the market, which I think is hugely important.
Exactly.
Quick last question. Brent up 9.3% overnight. Going to be a big day for Sasol. The Sasol shareholders are finally going to get their just rewards.
What did I say? Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And today is that day. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely wild. We'll leave it there. That's Skulklo, PSG Old Oak. We certainly are expecting a huge day for the likes of Sasol in the market this morning, with oil up almost 10% on the back of Israeli attacks on Iranian nuclear facilities. Our poll today is back to that Karoo story. Does the sale bother you? Or perhaps this is just how directors do it. I am unconcerned by directors selling. Certainly the data shows that director sales are no real impact. Impact, director buying, tiny little impact. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Standing live with Temo Mwembelanda, head youth and mass market segments at Standard Bank. Temo, appreciate the early morning time. Your youth barometer out earlier in the week. Youth, those under 35, looking at how they're spending. Let's start off with the big sort of broad stroke, which is essential versus discretionary. My sense would be they probably, and as they're younger, spending more on essentials. And then as we sort of age up and get a little older, we can move more to discretionary. Is that what your daughter is finding?
Simon, that's exactly it. So what we're seeing is that if you're looking at the youth around the age of 18 to 24, a lot of their money is going to what they are essential. Almost, I mean, you could almost say like almost 60% of their spending it goes towards their essential. And obviously, as they get older, you start more of a balanced kind of spend between essentials and kind of your lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's just, I suppose, as they sort of, as salaries increase, careers grow.
100%.
Yeah, Liberty was part of it. Liberty is obviously part of the broader Standard Bank Group. They were part of this barometer. Are we seeing the youth, are they investing? Are they saving? Because I remember being young and there was lots of pressure on my money and it was truthfully hard to put some away for that long-term saving. Are we seeing it happen?
No, 100%. So we're seeing two things. So the first thing that we're seeing, if he's talking about a kind of savings type of behavior, which kind of like your smaller type of, if you think about kind of safe change type of behavior coming, but also seeing kind of your savings account become very popular for this card. And obviously makes sense, right? Because I don't want to be paying tax. I want to do as much as possible to make sure that whatever I'm saving comes to me and I'm able to earn that interest. What's another thing that's been quite interesting and for me surprised, to be honest, that you start seeing funeral covers coming through quite a bit for the young crowd, right? I've always been the belief that young people don't put anything towards funeral covers or anything like that. But actually the data is telling us otherwise.
Okay, that is interesting. I wouldn't have expected that. Credit cards, easy to get and easy to, I mean, they can become quite dangerous, but what the data is showing is there is a high utilization rate, but they are making frequent payments.
So what I'm seeing is that, I mean, in our own data, I don't think it's that big yet in terms of our credit card take-up and usage. It's only about 16% that we're seeing in terms of people under the age of taking up credit cards. What we're seeing, though, is that there is a shift in terms of kind of your entry-level credit card, which is like gold, and then moving towards your titanium, which is more like premium credit card. But we do see frequent kind of purchases, but frequent payments as well. What we're seeing is that there's two things that we are expecting is that, firstly, the youth are becoming smart in terms of interest rates.
Yeah.
And then secondly, they're using kind of your loan rewards programs so that they can earn additional income.
Yeah, okay, and the rewards programs definitely do work.
Yes.
Let's work to the big one here, which is the home loans. And data from Standard Bank Home, 40% of applications were from those under 35. The rand values might be a little smaller than older peeps, but the youth are out there and they are buying their homes. In most cases, I imagine their first home, but they absolutely are.
Yeah, 100%. So 40%, that is the walk-through, like through the door applications are definitely the under 35. Smaller, as you rightly say, so we're seeing an average about 1.2, 1.3 the amounts are coming through, mostly 100% because obviously people don't have that in, they don't have that, a deposit or the small deposit. But I think unlike what we're seeing in kind of the Europe and some of the European countries, we are seeing a growth trend of our youth are buying homes, especially first time home buying. And that data, what we're seeing internally, is no different to what we're seeing if you look at the likes of Uber, etc., in terms of what they're reporting.
And vehicle finance, obviously, they in many cases are buying cars. Are they buying new cars or are they buying used second-hand cars?
Might say this one was a surprise to me, right? In two ways. So I had suspected that the youth were buying lots of new cars. I also suspected that because of subscription services, you see kind of your car ownership going down.
Yeah.
And we're seeing actually the opposite, right? So we're seeing a lot of second-hand cars are coming through. Your Toyotas, VWs, a big surprise, also like a Chery. And then, secondly, they are buying the cars, right? And there's a co-use between subscription services and vehicle asset finance as well.
My sense, reading the report, chatting with you now, is that I think a lot of folks out there would think, you know what, I remember my youth. I was not particularly responsible with money, if I'm perfectly honest. Reading this report, I get a sense that the under 35s are being responsible. They're being smart about it. They're buying in secondhand in many cases. They're using loyalty programs and the like. They really are sort of, and it's tough, but they're being responsible. Yes. They're being smart in tough conditions.
100%. And it's that, right? So yes, the high cost of living, debt exposure, etc. But even though they're under pressure, they're making quite intentional and informed decisions. And the data also supports others.
We'll leave it there. That was Chioma Molande, Head Youth and Mass Market Segments, Standard Bank. Appreciate the early morning time. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some thoughts from me on markets at all-time highs, or individual stocks as the case may be. And this is very much thinking around for traders as distinct from an investor. From an investor, it's easy. All-time highs, we love them. We're richer than we've ever been before. And that's a great place to be. But I see it often with traders, particularly perhaps the newer traders. And they things get to, you know, whether it be an individual stock, whether it be an index, perhaps even a commodity, in a sense that it's got to that high, it's going to collapse, that the smart money here would be selling it, would be looking to take a short position, would be looking to make money on the downside. And the short answer is sometimes yes, but as a default, not necessarily. What is quite possible is that it will continue to go higher. If we, for example, look at the top 40, it's been making repeated new highs recently. If we look at the likes of gold, if we look at US markets, there was that significant sell-off back in April, but since then it really has been moving higher. And I suppose the key point is that as a trader is to have a plan and have a strategy and have a style, and that might be on very short-term movements, in which case perhaps a selling a high might be it. But broadly to say, you know what, we don't really care about the price level. We care about what we're seeing on the chart. We care about how it is working and how it is sort of, in essence, going and where it's going to go next. That is needing to be our focus. Traders shouldn't be scared of highs and certainly shouldn't work on the theory that all new highs should be sold. That's it for today. I was chatting with Keith McLachlan yesterday. He from Element Investment Managers. We were talking Centova results. The results were, I suppose we could call them average, although there were some nuances, which certainly made them look good for the future. And that's picking up new accounts, new accounts and customers is important. We also touched on their recent acquisition, Seaborn, which Keith is very, very bullish on. It's a stock that he's liked for, I don't know, a decade or more, and it certainly has rewarded. We asked you if this logistics stock was in your portfolio, and it was pretty much evenly split between you need to have a look, yes, you are loving it, or not for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and a positive review in your podcatcher of choice, and we will chat again Tuesday. Fake luxury.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.